Congregation, tonight's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and we will read from verse 9 through verse 23. We begin reading at verse 9, and we will read through 23 of chapter 17. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through thy own name, those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So far the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation, as you all know, we are here together to prepare for the days ahead. We come together for prayer. Yes, we are in need of prayer as we consider our denomination and all the work that has been done and needs to be done. So many tasks that are too big for us and problems we want to solve, but not in our own strength. We need prayer for our meetings, but of course, it goes beyond this. We need prayers to be the church that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be. We do not just meet because of the meetings, to keep all things running in a church. We come together to pray that we might be indeed a church true to the calling wherewith the Lord Jesus has called us. Now, we may be much comforted that we are not just praying for our church tonight and throughout the year, but that our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, is at the right hand of God the Father, praying for His church. Even tonight, consider that. Even tonight, He is ever present at the right hand of God His Father, praying for us. Tonight, I want to bring the word of God to you as we read it from John chapter 17, where we hear a part of this prayer of the Lord Jesus. At this point, I'd like to read again verses 20 through 23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. We read here of the Lord Jesus' praise for unity. The Lord Jesus prays for unity. We will consider 3 points. He prays, he mentions the ground of this unity. Secondly, the goal of this unity. And finally, the glory of this unity. The Lord Jesus prays for unity. The ground or foundation of this unity. The goal of this unity. And finally, the glory of this unity. It's interesting to notice how at 4 places in chapter 17, the Lord Jesus mentions, I pray. We just saw that last Sunday morning when we studied other verses with the congregation here. In verse 9, the Lord Jesus says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. And then again in verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And then the last time in our text in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Here we have these 2 categories, these 2 groups, the disciples and the world. And at first, the Lord Jesus, he mentions them as they are opposed to each other. The world will hate the disciples. And in that sense, his prayers do not accompany this world in general as they do his disciples in the midst of this world. But then in verse 15, we notice that there is a change. There it's not so much the opposition, but the Lord Jesus says, I do not take them out of this world. They are still to be within this world. But they need to be kept from the evil. And then very interestingly in verse 20. There we read, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also. There the prayer of the Lord Jesus extends to a group of people. Yes, you may say, to all the elect. And yet, that is not how the Lord expresses himself here. He says, to all those who shall believe in me through their word. Here we see 3 circles. First, the disciples. And then another group of people that will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by the preaching of the disciples. And then later on we will see that even this circle will widen again. And that among others in this world, the Lord will continue his work and that there will be more that come to faith in him. So, the Lord Jesus Christ did not limit his prayer to the first disciples, but to all the believers throughout the centuries and throughout the ages and throughout all nations of this world. His prayer accompanies the word of the disciples. I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word. It is translated here as, they believe on me, but we might just as well translate, they believe in me. That is what a Greek says at this point. It is about true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, even before he suffered the cross, and even before he died and rose again, he saw this movement throughout the ages. That there will be more and more and more people come to faith in him. And he, with his prayers, he will count them to be his people. Jesus prays not only for the disciples, but for all those who will believe in him. They will speak his word, the word of his cross, the word of his resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of this word, through the work of the Spirit, there will be many more that come and become part of this community of Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ does not mention prayer just in general. You may say His prayer concerns all those that will believe. But what does He actually pray for? What is the content of His prayer? Well, when we read on in verse 21, we know the answer. What does He pray about all these people? This growing group of people that believe in Him. He prays that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they also may be one. It is emphasized here in the Greek text. It is about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That they believe through their word in Me, that is. Not a general faith in God or in a God, but Jesus Christ, He makes it plain. It is about faith in Him, the Son of God, the only Savior of the world. And now He prays that those who come to faith in Him are one. Lord Jesus, He points here at the ground or the foundation of unity. What is this ground to be one? Who are these people that are to be one community? All those that have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not cultural bonds will keep these people together, because soon there will be people from different cultures and different countries that join the Church of Christ. Not family ties, first of all, keep these people together, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, He very well knew that when more people would join this small group of disciples, those from all over the world, the division and disunity would be among them so soon. And don't we know that from the Acts of the Apostles, that even already in Acts 15 there is a lot of discussion, and there's the danger that the church will not be one. But by the grace of Christ, the church even then is made one in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these people that come from different backgrounds, they need to learn to be together as a new people of God. Not first of all operating from the way they always have been thinking, the way their people, their nation has always done things, but they need to learn to think according to the mind of Jesus Christ. And therefore, His prayer is for unity. Don't we know from our situation, congregation, the need for this prayer? How are we divided even today over this world? His prayer is needed, and His prayer is real. But the Lord Jesus is saying more. He does not only mention faith in Him as the foundation or the ground of unity. No, the Lord Jesus speaks about Himself with emphasis as the Son of the Father. We need to grasp that, congregation. The Lord Jesus says, "As Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee." And later again in verse 23, the Lord Jesus says, "I in them and Thou in Me." You notice what the Lord Jesus is saying here. He says, it is not just faith in Christ. Sometimes we hear that in our days too. People talk a lot about Jesus, and they put Christ in the center, it seems. But the Lord Jesus is teaching us that we cannot speak about Him apart from His relationship to the Father, and we may add, and His relationship to the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus has been speaking so much about the Holy Spirit in the preceding chapters. He is the Son of the Father. That is who He is. And it is faith in this Son, Jesus, the Son of God, that makes us one. From the Old Testament background, You can imagine that the disciples had some questions about the unity of God's people. In the Old Testament, the great confession was the oneness of God. God is one. Therefore, it was so difficult for them to grasp the reality of the Trinity. Three persons, one God. And now the question was just, could be imagined that they would say, but now, if Jesus is God, do we have more peoples of God? A people of God, the Father, and a people of God, the Son? How do we preserve this unity if we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Therefore, the Lord Jesus, He makes it very plain. The ground for unity is to believe in Him as He is sent by His Father and as He is one with the Father. He is the Son whom the Father sent. It tells us something about, for example, how God works salvation. He has worked salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we speak of the faith in Jesus Christ as the ground for unity, it also includes how does God work salvation? How did God choose to reveal Himself to us? Never apart from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also instructs His congregation. It tells us something of the kind of unity that the Lord Jesus mentions. It is a holy unity, like we, Father, are one, that they may be one also. It is a unity in perfect love, congregation. As the Father and the Son and the Spirit perfectly delight in one another. So the Lord Jesus says, I pray that they may be one like we are one. The grounds of this unity, congregation, is believe in Christ as He is sent by the Father. What does it mean for us, congregation, today? Well, Jesus is still praying in heaven, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus prays every day, always making intercession by the Father for His children. And still the same grounds apply when we discuss unity. Or discuss unity, I should say, when we pray and yearn and desire for unity that Jesus prayed for. On what grounds can we expect to be one today? Well, the Lord Jesus, He prayed that we should be one by faith in Him as the Son of God. Unity, congregation, still today grows as a gift of the Triune God. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they work together for the well-being of the Church of God. No one can claim to know the Father, for example, than through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Ground for this unity is to be together in the faith of Jesus Christ. It brings together all those that have renounced their own religion, our own religious feelings and convictions, that we surrendered all to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to ask ourselves some questions, congregation. Lord Jesus, He is speaking here with His disciples, first of all, or He's praying while they are with Him. It starts as a very small group, 12 disciples of Jesus. Today, you may say, it starts in the homes and in the families. Jesus, He prays for us to be one in our homes and in our families. Are you? And is your wife, your husband or your wife, are you one in this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you struggle with your relationship. Now you can be one. Now you can improve your relationship. Jesus, He says, it is by faith in Me. Then they can be one. Really one. fathers and mothers, your family, are you one in the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you make this a priority in your life? That you do not want to continue without the Lord blessing you and bringing your children, your husband or your wife to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we are often so busy with all the things of this world, also with respect to our children, to their future, with each other as husband and wife, neglecting the very need to be one in the faith in Jesus Christ. It is not enough, dear friends, to be related to each other naturally, the ties that we have already by birth. It is necessary to be reunited to each other in the love of the Lord. But also as a congregation, and each congregation back home, we need to ask ourselves that question: what is it at heart that binds us, congregation? It doesn't require a lot of imagination to think of a whole list of things that separates us. It is inherent to our own sin, to our own sinful characters. But the congregation, have we started to desire and to pray and to yearn for this unity to become true in our congregation? That we do not rest before we have evangelized our people that are sitting in our benches. So much communication is going on even in the congregation. We visit one another and we have birthday parties together, and that is all good. But congregation, is it not true that so often we fail to busy ourselves with the well-being of the soul of our fellow church members? And you, maybe you've been thinking about this much. Maybe you have your own thoughts about the church and about how things should go. But we need to ask you the question: have you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Otherwise, there will always be this distance between you and the people of God. There will always be this feeling of being a stranger, but this does not need to stay the way it is. Dear friends, surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, like so many did by the word of the disciples as it went forth. We need to ask ourselves as a denomination that question: how are we going to be one as different congregations, with different characters, different backgrounds? If we do not concentrate on the things of the Lord together, we will end up as a group of congregations that are just connected to each other because of the finances that are involved, or the burdens that we need to carry together in material perspective. Are we united as congregations by this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And what do? To seek this unity, we need to make a serious effort as congregations to be one in the Lord and to worship together at moments that we can, to encourage each other, to serve the Lord as we should. This is even true, congregation, as we think of our relationships with other Christians and other churches within this country and abroad. No, we do not need forced ecumenical relationships. These relationships that are only on paper. But do we seek with all of our heart, do we desire to be one with those that serve the Lord in truth? Some churches are very prone to err on the simplistic side, and they will say, well, as long as a church says that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we will be one. And of course, the Lord Jesus did not pray for his simplistic approach to church unity. He just mentioned in the text before that we need to be sanctified in the truth of the Word of God. We may never be simplistic and reduce it to a simple statement. But at the same time, congregation, we may also err at the other side. Have we at times not made it too complex? Have we not added much to the grounds and requirements to be one with other churches? Have we not forgotten the basics of the faith that we share with other churches? Jesus, He said, that those who believe in Me, that they may be one. Do you not think that Jesus knew Himself how different people were going to be throughout the ages? And how different we today are? And yet He prays that they may be one. Yes, there is a danger of making church unity in all kinds of relationships the priority goal of the church, and that is not true to the Word of God. But at the same time, congregation, the division of the churches that confess the same faith in the Lord, this cries unto the heaven from this earth. And do you cry about it? Or are we at heart comfortable being who we are and continuing as we have? A congregation, the Lord, He prays for unity even today, knowing the problems and the difficulties of our church life. He still prays for unity. This unity beyond our denomination should not be first of all contacts with churches far away. It starts at home, in the homes, but also with churches in the same place. Why do I say that? You'll see that in our second point, the goal of unity. This unity needs to be visible, congregation. It is not sufficient to say, well, at heart we are one, and once in a while when you meet another Christian, it's so good to feel it, and it is good. And we may praise God for it. And yet, this unity that the Lord Jesus prays for needs to become visible. How do we know that? Well, let's read verse 21. The Lord Jesus, He says, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Unity, in other words, the Lord Jesus is saying, is intimately related to what the world will say of Christ and will believe about Christ. We've seen already, and we can see in chapter 17, how this theme of being sent by the Father is very central to this chapter. In verse 3 of chapter 17, the Lord Jesus says, "This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." This being sent of Jesus Christ by the Father is a crucial issue. It is a dividing point whether they would accept that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, whom He testifies to be, or He is not. And so, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me is not just a cognitive admitting that the Lord Jesus was born as a child and sent by the Father. To believe that Jesus was sent by the Father is faith in Him as He reveals Himself in His Word. It is the fact that He is indeed the Son of God, He who is about to suffer and to die, to believe that He is indeed sent by the Father, even the same. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is saying in verse 21, "I pray that they all may be one." And so surprisingly, He connects to that immediately the salvation of sinful people in this world. Congregation, we have to think this through together, even tonight. Lord Jesus is praying for unity. Here, things come to the climax. He has been mentioning the world and the disciples, how they are opposed to each other, how they suffer from the world. And yet, in verse 18, the Lord mentioned, they are sent into the world, even as the Father had sent His Son. The Lord Jesus sends His church into the world to save sinners, like the Lord Jesus Christ was sent into this world to save sinners. And then the Lord Jesus, after verse 18, in verse 21, when He speaks about something so connected to what we would say the inner life of the church, or maybe even between churches, the Lord Jesus, He says, no, this unity that I pray for has everything to do with who we are in this world and how other people will come to faith in me. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, He shows in verse 21 that this unity is a primary instrument that He will use, that His gospel may go forth in this world. We are so prone, congregation, to separate all these things and to speak about the things that pertain to the inner life of the church and all the things that go on within the church. And then separate from it, we will discuss things, how we can reach out and how we can go out to other people in this world. The Lord Jesus, He doesn't leave any room to do so. He goes on immediately from the unity within and among churches, among believers, to that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. He binds up this faith of the world with how the church lives, and particularly how this church shows that they are bound by the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Quite a stirring vision of the church that Jesus confronts us with, congregation. His prayer isn't only comforting to us, but as all His words are, it is also normative and instructive to us. To put it concretely, as we have seen, He prayed for unity in the homes and our families. Think of it. Lord Jesus, He says, that they may be one in this home, that this family may be one, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Lord Jesus, He looks at our church and how families in the church relate to each other, that they may be one, that the world may believe in me. But also, congregation, if we turn this around, oh, we stumble and we are ashamed before the face of God when we are not one, when we do not live in love with one another, within our families, within our churches, and with other churches. We ourselves are a stumbling block for the world to come to faith in Jesus Christ. If we are not one, the world will not know that Thou hast sent me. Congregation, we may never separate what we do as Christians inside the homes and within the church with our calling in this world. Lord Jesus, He is saying to us, how can the world come to know about me? That is through you, as a church, as believers, as a denomination, but also the need to make visible this unity, because it needs to be seen and observed by the world. In other words, the Lord Jesus says, you disciples have believed already that I was sent by the Father. But how will the world believe it? How will the world believe it if the Lord Jesus does not walk on earth anymore with His disciples in love and unity. He says, it will be by the unity that you display, that the world may believe that this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a true faith. Divisions are natural to men. Unity is grace for man. And it is this unity that will show the world their confession of faith in Jesus is true, because they live in love with one another. Congregation, this doesn't only apply to Jesus' prayer for unity. You may draw the lines and say, all that we do inside our church and inside our families, there is a relation, a connection from there to the world. We may not separate that. Are not two areas of living. We are sent into this world, and as such, we have to live inside this world in a manner that glorifies God and that proclaims His gospel. First, Jesus was speaking about the words of the disciples that would go forth and people would come to faith. Here, He doesn't speak first of all about their words, but He speaks about their life, their walk of life. Do they display among each other true, genuine love and unity? Congregation, when we consider this prayer of the Lord Jesus, the goal that He has for the unity that He prays for, we are put to shame, are we not? As individual believers, are we not put to shame that we have not loved one another as we should? That we have not lived in unity as the Lord wants us to? Oh, congregation, we need to consider it. Have we not often just looked for the things of this church for itself and not consider those around us in this world? No, we must be afraid, congregation, that if the Lord wants this connection to be true between how the church lives and how we communicate to others that the Lord Jesus Christ indeed was sent by the Father, oh, we start to understand something. What is at the heart of all our problems, even within the church? Congregation, we might be divided even in our families and congregations because we have not sought the unity outside. We lack love for one another, congregation, because we have no compassion for lost sinners outside of this building, outside of our homes. Or we lack grace because we have not sought to share grace enough with those without. Oh, our congregations will suffer from this, O congregation. We will suffer because we do not seek the well-being of our fellow men. Congregation, as we gather this week for classes and all the other meetings, this meeting and this gathering will be in vain or even testify against us if it doesn't lead to show others who Jesus Christ is. Oh, do you so consider your life in this world? Do you so look at your congregations? Do you so seek to contribute to the congregation that the world may know that Thou hast sent me? We don't build the denomination for ourselves. If we do not desire to share the gospel with the many around us that perish because they have not known the Lord Jesus, will we as a church not perish? O congregation, the Lord Jesus, He sets before us the goal of this unity, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. If we live
as a church, just for our own pleasure, just for our own comforts, congregation, can we expect that the Lord will bless us, that He will grow and increase, that sinners will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ from outside the church, as we have not even loved one another as we should? May we, congregation, so see among ourselves the fulfillment of Jesus' prayer, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. May we so seek each other, congregation. May we so be motivated to seek other churches and other Christians in your streets and neighborhoods, that the others may see and know that Jesus Christ indeed was sent by the Father. Congregation, the Lord Jesus, He continues His prayer, and we will consider in the third place the glory of this unity. Congregation, the Lord Jesus, He continues His prayer up till the verses 22 and 23 and forward, and He repeats some of the thoughts He has already been praying about. And so we will briefly summarize. The Lord Jesus prays again in verse 22 about the unity of His church. He says, "And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one." We consider briefly our last point, the glory of this unity. The glory of the unity that the Lord Jesus is praying for is not, congregation, that it will be in the end our made unity, but that the unity that He prays for will be the gift of Jesus Christ Himself. Lord Jesus, He mentioned already the glory that the Father gave Him. We read this in the verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. "Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." Father glorifies the Son. It means that the Father will honor the work that the Son has done and is about to do in His suffering and dying. The glory of the Son, it will be the fruit on His labor that He will see. That people come to faith in Him is His glory. There He receives His beauty, His majesty, where sinners are saved through His precious blood. And so the Lord Jesus, He says in verse 22, "And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them." Doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus gives away His glory to the disciples, but that He bestows on them some of the glory that He has received. They will see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and so they will share in some of the glory that the Son received from the Father. His work is perfect, and therefore it will be crowned with the blessing of His Father. All those that the Father has given Him, they will come unto Him by faith, that they may be one. Even the unity of the believers is part of the glory that the Father gives to the Son. The glory that is His reward, we could say. Because of what He has done, the Son will see fruit on His labors, and there will be a church, and not only a church, but there will be unity. In this world, yes, for sure, because Jesus Christ died and rose again. And therefore the Father will give Him His glory, even in this world, where people, despite of their sin, despite of our sin, friends, that there will be people united in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the glory of the Savior that the Father gives Him. And His unity even bears the marks of this glory. Unity is not what we sometimes will think, our work, the result of our hard labor. No, the unity is part of the gift that the Father gives His Son. He honors Him with a people that will be one by faith in Him. The glory of this unity also extends beyond this time. Lord Jesus, he says in verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Yes, the Lord Jesus, he sees this movement growing of people throughout all ages that will believe in him. He knows their struggles and their disunity and their division. And yet he prays and he knows that this people of God will be one in the end. No, not so we can postpone it to the life to come and say, well, we live on earth divided among each other and in the future the Lord will make it all right. No, we are to enjoy the fruits of his work already here on earth. But it is true that we cannot expect and we should not think that on this earth this unity will be made perfect. No, then in the end, then they will be made perfect in one. Each believer for himself will in the end become perfect as they are more and more united together and made perfect in Christ, the head of the church. And the Lord Jesus says that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Realize first, the Lord Jesus said that they may believe that thou hast sent me, that they may come to surrender and believe that thou hast sent me and my Father, that thou art my Father. But now he says they may know, intimately, personally, know and enjoy this knowledge and the reality of the truth that the Father sent the Son and that the Father worked salvation through the Son. Then the world, those who come out of the world, they will know it. A deep, intimate, personal knowledge. And not even only that the Father had sent the Son. Now also the Lord Jesus continues, and that thou, Father, love them as thou hast loved me. And this congregation will be the final glory of the unity of all those who have come to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That they may know and see and enjoy how the Father has loved them as the Father loved the Son. O congregation, do we not, even in the midst of the busyness of our church life and of our family life, do we not desire for that glory to come? One in the Lord Jesus. One people being filled with the love of God. Is that your desire, dear friend, tonight? Or is this love still so strange to you? And if this is your desire, may it motivate us even throughout these meetings to come. In the end, it is not just about our life here. It's not even only about our task in this world. But in the end, we are looking forward with great expectation and with a great desire for the future of our Lord Jesus Christ, made perfect in one, knowing, enjoying, fully enjoying, without the strains of our sins and iniquity, fully enjoying before the face of God that He has loved them, that He has loved us as He has loved the Son. O congregation, may we today and in this week and in the time to come experience some of the taste of that heavenly love and this heavenly unity, that some of the glory of our Lord may descend on us and fill this house, and fill our hearts, our homes, that we so may show forth the majesty and the glory and the beauty of the Lord, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen.